This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented to you by Shady Rays. Shady Rays is having their best deal of the year. You go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. And go to SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Shady to enter the Shady Rays Parlay of the Day contest. And we're also brought to you by SGPN's Draft Week all week long. As you covered with draft props, mock drafts, our live NFL draft watch party. So make sure you smash that subscribe button at youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. All right, DJs, welcome back. I feel better tonight. I'm not solo. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. We're here for the Mexico Open Best Bets. I'm in a much better mood tonight. I fucking hate doing solo podcasts, so thank you for joining me on vacation, Steve.
You sound like you're in a better mood.
Yeah. I was dreading doing the, it's talking to myself in my brain on a normal day basis. That's fine. But into a microphone where I'm getting no feedback is horrific.
Yeah. Like Apple's iPhones have to like put like a, when you give like the like emoji on a text message, like you did when I said, hey, can you go solo? There's gotta be like a tepid, like trepidation like at that point. Because I know you hate solo shows, but thank you for picking up the slack. Last night, my wife was not feeling great. I'm on vacation. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't feel like breaking on the DFS slate with you anyways, because this is a garbage field. Yeah. As I mentioned on in Discord, my betting card is not finalized. So we're going to talk things through. So let's go. A couple of bets I made, but we'll see what happens. But I'm in the Outer Banks. I'm on vacation. I only have access to one book, so I know exactly how you feel now. Seeing all the prices everybody else got, and I'm very limited what I got to do. So if I give out some bets that I didn't get CLV, sorry.
Yeah,
okay. Write a letter to the North Carolina congressman at that point, because they have not legalized sports betting yet.
It's just like some of the other states. They're just worried about other dumb shit instead of just getting revenue into their state.
Yeah, actually, fun. I was talking.
Thanks for the book tour, Ron, you piece of shit. Fucking come back home, fix your shit, and fucking legalize sports betting and stop banning books, you fuck.
I was talking to a bartender today, and apparently North Carolina has strict rules about happy hours. So, So you can't have more than two drinks in front of you at a time. If you're going to have like, I actually asked him like, what about like an Irish car bomb? He's like, well, I got to actually put the shot into the glass.
Then you gotta
I'm like, well, what's the fun in that? You know, the bomb is the fun part of that. So yeah, apparently. And then it's just different down here, I guess.
Yeah. It's definitely different than the Northeast, but Massachusetts actually had a thing, forever. Like you couldn't even call it happy hour. Like, it wasn't allowed. Like, there's no such fucking thing. I don't know, man. Dude, when I was growing up, you couldn't buy booze on fucking Sundays. But, like, you had to go to a bar. Like, you couldn't just go to a store and buy liquor or beer. You just couldn't do it. Some fucking Puritan rule from when the fucking Mayflower hit, they kept it. Like, Massachusetts is fucked up, but whatever. I digress.
I mean, it's like Pennsylvania has the weird liquor rules too. Like you can only buy it at a certain place. But apparently you can, they'll sell fireworks to anybody except for people who actually live there. Yep. So, when I was younger, my dad would basically like a bootlegger, go down to the Pennsylvania border. I cover up with blankets and sheets and then bring it back to North, to New York again. So
we did the same thing because New Hampshire would sell them and we'd drive across the line and get it. I mean, you see the stadies lined up at the border waiting to pull people over. There's a ton of money in fireworks, dude. Like a lot of wise guys, like legit, like mafia guys, like they make a shit ton of money on that. Like a couple guys just got indicted on that in New York. And like when you look at how much money they were making off of fucking illegal fireworks, it was like, holy shit.
That actually reminds me. I saw an article that in Rochester, apparently, do you know if there's a black market for used cooking oil?
No, I don't.
So they arrested, apparently there were three or four restaurants and they were complaining that people were breaking in and stealing like the old cooking oil, like kind of like in Fight Club when they hop the fence to steal like that and everything that makes soap. So they were stealing the cooking oil and the cops were like, all right, like I really understand the value and why they're doing but they ended up raiding a warehouse and there was like three or four giant like tanks, 15,000 gallons of used cooking oil, and apparently you can sell it like $4 or $5 a gallon for, and you can make like fuel and everything out of that. So
Interesting.
Yeah, they also found a 9mm handgun in the office and like $100,000 in cash. So, yeah. Damn.
So this is a racket I didn't even knew fucking existed. You boys up in Rochester get busted left and right. You had that gambling racket get busted up.
Yep.
Now you got
to. Yep. If you go for the PGA, do not, if you're going to rent a car, don't get a Kia or Hyundai because they are stealing them and then crashing them into businesses to steal the cash registers and ATMs.
Yeah. So you know that started on TikTok, right?
I know it did. Actually, the city of Rochester is now suing TikTok. They're suing Kia Hyundai in order to basically say, hey, fix your security settings on your car. So good luck with that.
Yeah, I saw a chat. It was like, I can't remember. It was either New York Metro, Chicago metro area, and like the auto theft. And it was like all the regular cars like this, that it was like Kia Hyundai. Yep. Like over the last, it was crazy, man.
Yeah, I think there's been 1,200 carjackings in Rochester alone this year.
Wait, carjackings or car thefts?
Well, jackings and thefts.
Yeah. You motherfuckers are carjackings?
Yeah, it's not good. it's not a good scene, Rochester. So yeah, if you are coming to the PGA next month, definitely do not enter the city with a Kia or Hyundai. It will be gone very quick.
You can't even strap up in New York, right? Like unless you got a New York license to carry, right?
No. Yeah.
So you're getting worried about getting hijacked without anything. That sounds fun.
Yeah, basically the cops are giving away those clubs they put over the steering wheels. That's really your only option at that point.
That's it.
Yeah. So go on the made for TV product, go dial that up and go buy them. Cause I think they ran out actually.
That's fucking hilarious.
It is. So, all right. Well, now that we've put off talking about the Mexico Open, talking about crime in Rochester, New York. Great. Yeah, you know, home of the PGA Championship. Why don't we take a quick break? And then let's finish up my betting card.
Let's do it. All right. Listen, Shady Rays Parlay of the Day contest. We're running a special Parlay of the Day contest for people who bought their shades from ShadyRays.com using promo code SGPN each day of the NFL Draft, the Sports Gambling Podcast, will release a Shady Rays Parlay of the Day. If the parlay hits, the cash will be awarded to one lucky listener. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady to start getting shady. I didn't realize how bad parlay was until I had to say it like 10 times in a row for my accent. I even hear it. That's how terrible it is.
Ale.
That's not a good word for my accent.
No, it definitely isn't.
No, definitely not. But on top of that, our friends at Shady Rays also got you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company that offers world-class product just as good as any expensive pair. We've worn durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break a pair, even on day one, they told us they'll send you a brand new pair. No questions asked. Wear Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. And with Shady Rays, you can look good and feel good. To date, they've donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair and return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop for Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. So exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out the best deal of the year. You go to ShadyRays.com. Use promo code SGPN for 50% off two or more pair of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by 200,000 people.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right.
All right.
Betting card time.
Yes.
All right. So you got one. Who do you got?
All right. Well, I started my car with Gary Woodland 30-1. That has since plummeted to low 20s.
Yeah.
But I saw that. I'm like, look, you know, I've been saying all year, and it didn't work at the Valspar, but the guy's been winning at some of these crap events with weak fields, have a little bit of win equity behind him. You know, they're veterans. They know what it's like to win. So, you know, I'll take a guy, Gary Woodland, playing very, you know, like hitting the ball pretty well, pretty good with his long irons. Doesn't score very well because I think he's so really bad around the green, but like he's been putting okay. I kind of like that. Yep. The fact that his putter's been coming alive. So, you know, he's ended okay history on Paspalum, okay history on some of their comp courses I looked at with a lot of longer approach shots. So I started with Gary Woodland 31. And then now I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I should just bite the bullet and bet John Rahm like everybody else on PGAtour.com. No. That was a unanimous bet, by the way, for everybody on that website. You know what it's like, you know, when you watch Sunday Night Football and the whole panel picks one team?
Yeah.
He just doesn't win.
It does not. So I'm with you on Gary. I was only able to get 25. Okay. But that was fine for me. I was happy with that. His ball striking numbers are ridiculous right now. Where is he? I think he's like third in the field, which makes sense given the quality of the field. But his ball striking numbers are good. He actually gained putting last time he was out after he began it. So maybe he's starting to figure it out with a flat stick a little bit, which is always dangerous to say with him. But like you, give me the pedigree. Give me the guy who is, you know, he's a much better golfer than guys priced around him. So I loved Gary there. Okay. So the rest of my card is kind of gross, but not really.
All right.
So it wasn't gross until I realized, like, I bet Patrick Rogers at 31. He is, everybody I think is betting him. Obviously he had a top 10 here last time, right? Coming in good form, you know, with a top five at Valero, you know, top 20 at, RBC, I think. And look, he's fine on the driving distance. He's not short. He's not long, but he's not, you know, cripplingly short. His ball striking numbers are fine. But off the tee, he does well. And, you know, look, he's played here once already. I like it at 31. Like, I felt like that was kind of a fair number. What do you think? for this, no, you listen, man, we've talked about it since the beginning, right? Like we can't turn our noses up at numbers like this. Like, it is what it is. Like, this is the hand we're dealt. Rogers anywhere else wouldn't be 30-1 and feel fair. But in this field, it kind of feels fair.
I mean, for a guy who's never won for 30-1, it feels fair.
I'm just saying.
I get it. I get it. I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and I don't
look like I understand. He's got the length. The iron number's been very good. I mean, probably should have won Valero. He followed that up with a decent finish at Heritage, too. He's got some okay history on past Palom. Obviously been okay here. All right, that wasn't a strong argument, but I'm not totally against it.
I think he's the most tipped golfer though, so I would factor that in.
I mean, other than John Rahm.
Well, no, on golf Twitter, Twitter is not tipping fucking John Rahm.
Okay. Has anybody have you seen anybody like reputable just single bet Rahm?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so just the entire golf gambling community is just kind of like, all right, we don't care. We're just going to follow our blueprint of just betting a couple guys 30, 50 to one and just call it a day.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, I haven't really checked the normal suspects. I haven't looked at Andy or I haven't listened to Joe's shit. I haven't looked at BK. So I haven't looked at anybody's stock. I was fucking busy today. So I don't really know. But yeah, I can't imagine anybody betting him at 2.5 to 1. It's different. Like when we bet him at the Masters at fucking 10, 2.5. That's fucking silly.
Yeah. I mean, to make it worth my while, I probably have to bet at least 3 to 3.5 units.
Yeah, at least.
I don't know if I want to do that.
No.
All right. If Rahm burns me this week,
so be it.
But, you know, maybe I can find a different way. Maybe there's something, maybe with positional, I can check that out.
Good luck with that, buddy.
All right. Top five market. How about top five market, maybe?
Top five was still Lane Juice.
Is it really? So they really don't want.
They don't want any Rahm money. Yeah, no Rahm money.
That's no fun. Yeah, minus 130. Oh God.
Yeah.
If it was minus 105,
maybe. But even then, like I don't think it's worth it.
What
especially if you get dead heated?
What about his matchups?
So it was like
minus 200 over Finau. Holy crap.
Yeah, you gotta take Finau. It's the only one they matched him up against. And it was like, I think I saw like minus 220.
Then you know what? Then Rahm's just not on the card then.
Yep. That's kind of
all right. Fine. Say la vie.
Say la vie. So the next guy I got, I think this is your boy, Benny Ann, right? You like Benny Ann.
I actually don't like Ben Ann this week.
Well, yeah, but you typically like Benny Ann, right?
I typically do, but
so why don't you like him?
Well, all right, so his past Palom history is garbage here.
I didn't even find past Palom history on him. What the hell are you seeing that?
Like probably Mayakoba and Corrales. And I mean, if you just take total strokes gain, how he's done, it's not very good. I got him losing 0.6 strokes per round of past Palom in his career. And I don't have very good proximity numbers on his approach shots over 150. He doesn't score very well from there either. Seems like he does a little better from under 150.
So I got him. He's He's 30th in the field from 175 plus.
Okay, I got him. All right, I color code it, and it's blue. His proximity going back.
Blue's bad.
Are you just looking at this year?
I'm looking at my normal 24 and 36 rounds.
That's a short sample size.
I'm aware, buddy.
That's very short.
I hear you.
Okay. But all right. Well, I don't have anyway. Having very good proximity numbers for him. I'm just off him this week.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, look, and I got him at 38-1.
Okay.
And whatever. Look good at Valero. His driving distance is good. That was a slave to the be long here.
It is. I will say something though with these Korn Ferry guys. Some of their driving distance numbers are juiced a little bit because of what they did in the fall. There were a couple of events where they got, like, I think Shriners.
Yeah.
Or I think Country Club of Jackson. That really juiced a lot of their numbers. So be kind of careful about that. Like, I have SH Kim averaging 303 off the box. I know he's short.
No shot. So, yeah, no way. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like be that. A little careful about those driving distance numbers. But he's got some length to him, but he's not 312 off the box.
How about that? All right. Yeah. Well, fuck it. I don't care. It's fucking 38th one. And then so my next guy is Matt Wallace. It jumped out at me when I was looking at it last night as far as the pricing. I was like, this guy won like fucking four events ago or five events ago, whatever it was. Right. And he's not short. His approach game's solid. He's kind of squirrely off the tee, to put it nicely. But I mean, dude just won. Like, I mean, at fucking 70-1 in this field, I feel like why the hell is he 70-1 in this field? Makes no sense. Like, makes no sense to me. This guy has won, and he was a really good golfer a few years ago, and it seems like he might be getting it back. 71.
That does seem mispriced.
Yeah.
Okay. Which one? He went Puerto Rico or Corrales?
Corrales.
Okay. I mean, that's like 7,800 yards and past Palom and. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
So I saw that.
That's not a bad
71.
Okay.
No, I don't hate that.
All right.
And here's a guy I know you're going to yell at me about. You want to say his name since you said you think you know it?
Is a scam champ?
No, fuck no. I'm done with him. Luke
Lynn. Good. Thank fucking God.
I'm done with scam champ. Although I couldn't find a matchup I liked. I only have one matchup this week. I got to find one because when they matched him up, the people they matched Scam Champ up with, I was like, I can't even fucking do that.
Okay.
But Luke List, why not? Same thing.
All right. Okay.
Same thing. Long, can't putt worth shit. It's been really bad, but 75-1. And that's what I keep going back to. I'm like, in this field, like, this price is wrong. Like, he shouldn't be 75-1. Like, just his pedigree alone. And you can see flashes of it. And I mean, his course is pretty fucking gettable, right?
I mean, I don't know if it's gettable. I mean, I think 18 under won it last year.
Yeah, that's gettable.
I mean, when I think gettable, I think like 25 under at this point with these guys. Like, there's a lot, if you don't get to like 20 the tournament, like with how far these guys hit it. And
that's fair.
Yeah. I don't hate that. His long iron numbers are very good. Yeah, I can. I get that. That fits my my profile of veteran who's won, been around the block. If he's in the crucible, he knows how to get it done. Okay, that's an option.
His ball striking numbers. So I keep reminding myself. I'm like, man, these look great. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm thinking about the field. I'm thinking because it's compared to the field. And I'm like, oh yeah.
So it's mostly it's mostly off the tee with him. The iron numbers have been for Luke List standards not great.
Not great. Yeah, okay. But whatever, man. Like I said, 75-1, and then I'm going back to Eric Cole. I mean,
he's short.
He's a little short, but he's not that short. Let me pull it up. So his approach numbers are really good. I couldn't find shit on him on pass ball. I mean, he's still hitting over 300 for his average. It's 303. Like, so, I mean, I don't feel like that's wicked short. Like, it's not. It's middle of the road, right? It's not like he's cripplingly short. And his around the green game is usually what fucking kills him. And look, I didn't know if I tripped over him before the Honda, I would have known who the fuck he is. But I've enjoyed watching him play since the Honda. It's a cool story. And fucking 90-1, why not? I don't give a shit.
All right, so I have a T22 at Corrales and a T27 at Mayakoba. Not horrible.
Yeah, not bad.
Okay. Not bad. All right.
That's it. End of card.
All right. So let me tell you where my head's at.
All right.
I could just say screw in Bet Finau.
He's been kind of shitty off the tee lately.
That's a problem. The distance is down with him, and he's not hitting as many fairways. Now the fairways, that's fine. I don't really care. The fact that his distance is down, that
injury maybe,
possibly. But the irons have been, good though.
The irons have been great.
Yeah, they've been great. So like, I don't know. So that's. But you're right. It's been kind of lackluster with him. It's been a lot of top 20s, not really in contention.
Yep.
So maybe that's a no. I could go Patrick Rogers, which feels gross, but I could do that.
It does feel gross.
Is Matt McNealy just dead?
He's dead to me.
He's dead to you. Why is he dead to you?
Has he played one fucking event in the calendar year?
No, he hasn't.
Let me pull it up.
No, he's been bad, but he had that T7 at Sony, and then he had that injury.
He's done nothing.
I mean, he did hit his irons okay at Heritage.
He missed a fucking cut.
I know he did, because off the tee was terrible. His distance, so his overall distance numbers are pretty good going back 2 years, but ever since the injury, it's been a power leak. So you know what? No.
Okay. All right. No math. Like it.
How about Griot?
I'm never a Griot guy.
So. Okay. So T7 Heritage. He's got a little bit of pop off the tee. Really good with the long approach shots. Very good history on past Palom. He's got a lot of good finishes at, I think he's got like a T3 at Puerto Rico. He's got some Mayakoba good finishes. Pretty good on some other golf courses with a lot of longer approach shots. I mean, he was pretty good at TPC Twin Cities a couple years ago. I mean, Finau did well last year. Cam Champ won it. He did well last year too. That's like 55-1 for a guy who's won before.
I don't hate it. He's a guy that like, I feel like I never got right in DFS. So like, he's one of those guys to just stay away from.
But I did notice with his career too, like when he has like kind of spikes, he tends to go in little runs. Like, and you saw a little bit last fall with him, where I think he finished T4 at Sanderson, and then a couple weeks later he finished T4 at Zozo.
Okay.
Last year couple years ago, T3 at 3M, and then I think he had like another top five finish around that too.
Okay.
So it kind of goes in little spurts.
Yeah.
I could consider that.
I don't hate it.
Alex Smalley, 65-1.
I initially looked at him when I was talking about last night, just based on like your profile. Missed the cut pretty bad at the last event, didn't he?
He did. He's been very, very, very bad. Seems like at Heritage, though, off the tee, because he could not find fairways, he was bad. But a gain on approach, lost only a little bit with around the green, gain putting, really good on past Palom. Like his results on past Palom. He has a 14th at Corrales and a 22nd. He's got a 2nd at Corrales, a 6th at Mexico. Guy likes past Palom.
Okay.
And I'm still a believer in his talent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Behind that.
Garrett Higo.
Yeah, I like Higo. I thought about it.
Okay. I talked about on the previous show. One of the European golf courses I mentioned, I think Golf Costa Adeje in the Canary Islands. Won one of those events and then came, I think, T8 in another. So decent on past Palom. Got a little bit of length to him. He spiked a little bit. I mean, he almost won. He did very well at Sanderson. I think he did well at Amex too. Yeah. Guys won before. Congaree was a golf course, a lot of longer approach shots, and he won there. That's a maybe. Well, Lanto, 90-1.
I feel like is he back from injury yet? Like,
so, yep. So he came, back from injury. He had a,
no, but I mean, is he back from injury? Like, not as he played.
All right. He withdrew from Genesis. He played a Korn Ferry event, finished T16, then went to Valero, finished T15.
Okay.
And then cut a Heritage.
Right. I mean, I'm fine with it. No, he's not dead. I mean, I looked at him too, like especially for when I was looking at like DraftKings stuff. I just don't know what to make of the data, right? Because it's like, I remember him a certain way. And it's like, well, if he's coming back from injury, how much am I taking from it? You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I just don't know what to do with him yet.
All right. Will Gordon, 70-1. Long at the box, decent iron numbers, pretty good with the long approach shots.
Yep.
Good finish in Mayakoba, so I know you can do it in past Palom. And I'm just a sucker for the guy.
I know you are.
He's an option. And then Nikolai Højgaard.
Okay.
I got a feeling he's popular. I like a lot.
He's super popular.
I know he is, but it's because probably, I mean, it's going to be honest, I don't think there's a lot of donkeys betting this event this week. It's probably a lot of guys who are sharp, who are paying attention, who think they can find some edges. Yeah. So one, the Ras Al Khaimah Golf Championship, that was on Pest Palom. T4, that Canary Islands Championship, the one that Higgins won. 10th at Yachts Golf Links, that's Pest Palom. 2nd at Corrales, that's Pest Palom. T13 at Almuj Golf, the Ras Al Khaimah again.
Okay.
So, you know, the 2nd at Corrales, there's no strokes gain numbers from that. So that would look better on paper. 5th at Thailand, there's no strokes gain number on that either. Probably the iron numbers look a little better too.
Okay.
Hit his irons pretty good at Zurich. So if I don't bet Finau, and I don't bet, and I don't bet Rahm.
Don't bet Rahm. I wouldn't bet Finau either. You still got to risk fucking 2 units at least for fucking Finau.
Probably. It's either Finau or I just go a couple of guys down the card.
I would go a couple of guys down the card.
And then
join me on Wallace. Make me feel better. Join me on Wallace.
I don't know if I want to join you on Wallace. I feel like he got his win and that's it.
Yeah, maybe. It could be.
What about Wyndham Clark?
He's like fucking 18-1. Bet Wyndham Clark at 18-1.
I mean, is there a difference between 18-1 Wyndham Clark and 28-1 Patrick Rogers this point?
So I got 31. Yeah, that's 15. Fine, whatever. 15 points. That's what the difference is. 15.
All right. You know what? Let's make some bets then.
One guy's got a 3 and one guy's got a 1.
All right. I'm going to bet Højgaard.
Okay.
And I can get him at, so this is my offshore. I get Højgaard at 28.
Okay.
So let's do that. I can get Will Gordon at, oh, did Griot withdraw?
I don't know.
Oh, did no. It? He's got did the it? Little, he's got the little lock notification, here. So that's not good.
I'll look.
All right. Let's add Højgaard 20-1. So, based on how I bet, I know this is a great rating.
Great fucking podcast, exactly.
That's okay. So I'm up to about 0.6 units total. I want to get to about 1.25 total. I'm gonna join you on Rogers. He's been playing good, and you know what? It's fine. Right. So I can get him at 30.
We're all gonna lose when Rob Boat raises this fucking thing anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll have fun losing it. You know that. All right, so I'm up to about 0.87 units. Let's bet. Crap. My window just gave out. Okay.
You keep talking through your bets for a second. Give me a second.
Okay. How about, you know, let's screw it. Will Gordon 60-1. Okay, that's going to be, and I can fit one more. All right, so Woodland, Højgaard, Rogers, Gordon. I can fit somebody about 30-1. So I could do, I mean, should I just bet Smalley at that point? Let's just bet Smalley. All right. And that's going to be, so 1.2 units late. Okay. All right. Here's the card. We got Nikolai Højgaard 28-1. Gary Woodland 30-1. Patrick Rogers 30-1. Alex Smalley 55-1. And Will Gordon 60-1. You know what? If John Rahm is going to burn me this week, if Tony Finau burns me this week, c'est la vie. I got some maybe other positionals I can work on. We'll see what happens. So, Capper, where'd you go, buddy? Are you just gone? All right. Well, I guess Capper is gone for right now. So here's some other stuff I bet. I got a top 20. I'm going to back up my outright on Gary Woodland, top 20 plus 120. Again, as I just mentioned, really good with the long irons, really good ball striker, some decent success in Paspalum. You know, only a T24 finish here last year, but it's not horrible. So Gary Woodland, top 20 plus 120. I just told you I love Nikolai Højgaard this week. I think a lot of people are going to like Højgaard, but I love the good Paspalum history over on the European Tour. Backed it up with a second-place finish, Corrales. Top 20 on him, plus 145. And then Emiliano Grillo, top 20, plus 210 on him. Seventh-place finish at Heritage. I just mentioned that he tends to kind of go on little runs when he has a good finish. I mentioned that at the fall. Fourth place in Sanderson, and then fourth place in Zozo. So the fact he got a seventh at Heritage, maybe go a little bit of a run. Very good Paspalum history, too. Let's go with him. Top 20 for Emiliano Grillo, plus 210.
So he's still in?
I don't know if he's still in, but yeah, I bet him. Actually, you know what? I'm going to...
I was trying to pull up... I can pull it up on Twitter. What's his name?
Now, you know what? There's nothing about it. I think just my book is being dumb. So you know what? Because I haven't laid the bet yet, maybe I'll replace Gordon or Smalley with Griot.
Okay.
We'll call it a day. Okay. Actually, you know what? No, Griot's not going to win, right?
Why would you put that in the ether? Then you're going to make me fumble bet him.
All right, then you know what? Will Gordon, you're not going to win. Griot, you're going to beat. But with whatever price I can get him at.
So what did you run through? You ran through your
prices? All right, so it's going to be Højgaard, 28-1, Gary Woodland, 30-1, Patrick Rogers, 30-1, Alex Smalley, 55-1, Emiliano Grillo. I think I saw him at like 40 or 45-1. Whenever my book opens him back up. Actually, you know what? Why don't I just go to another book? What is he on DraftKings right now? I'll just say that's the price.
Can you access DraftKings though?
No, I can't. I can look at the odds. I can't actually bet on it though.
I got you.
Griot is 50-1. Perfect. Okay. Griot 50-1. All right. But you know what? Maybe Will Gordon will be a top 20 then. At whatever price I can get him. All right. So I can get a top 20 on Will Gordon at. I know it's great radio.
Holy shit.
Plus 185. Fine. That works for me. All right. What's your holy shit?
I just got a miracle cover. I bet the Orioles to score over 4.5 runs against my shitty Red Sox and terrible Corey Kluber. They had one run in the bottom of the ninth. It is now 8-6. I hammered that thing too. Now I might not drown tonight. Now I might not drown when the Orioles, the stupid fucking Islanders win tonight.
All right, there you go. Unbelievable. All right. While we take another break, and then we'll wrap up our betting cards. For the Mexico
Let's Open. Do it. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're brought to you guys by Underdog Fantasy. The NBA and NHL playoffs are here. And what better way to get down on some player prop parlays than over at Underdog Fantasy? Besides NHL, NBA, and MLB games, they've also got NFL best ball drafts for you real sickos with a guaranteed $500,000 in prices. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And listen, part of SGPN's draft week, SGPN is holding a free NFL draft prop contest exclusively for our members of Discord. It's completely free to join, and the winner gets $250 in cash and a $50 SGPN gift card. Go to sportsgamingpodcast.com/Discord and go to the NFL channel for the sign-up link. All right, what else you got?
Okay, so we've been teasing this for a little bit. And, you know, so the PGA Championship is coming to my hometown, Rochester, New York. And we've been trying to tease an appearance, maybe a little bit of a live show. We'll see what happens. But we finally locked down a venue. So on Friday, May 19th, from 7 to 9 p.m., myself, Brian Kirshner of the Tap and Birdie podcast, and Andy Lack, we're all going to be at Big Oak Driving Range. I rented a couple of bays. They're top tracer bays. Think Top Golf.
Nice.
It's got a full bar there. So from 79, we'll be hanging out. We might do a contest, maybe get out some SGPN gift cards, maybe a long drive contest. Maybe we'll play another little like target practice game. So we'll get those out. And as long as I can get Big Oak to cooperate, I'm going to call them tomorrow. We'll do a live show at 8 o'clock. Well, after round two, we'll talk about maybe some bets we're going to make over the weekend, kind of recap what we saw.
Nice.
It's going to be a good time. So, and by the way, it's free to come. So just show up. There'll be food, cash bar. So you got to pay for that, but come hang out with myself, Brian, Andy Lack, a couple of my friends, a couple of our listeners in town. It'll be a good time. So if you're in town for the PGA, come to Big O Driving Range in East Rochester, New York. If you have any other questions, DM my producer. He's also going to be in town too. We'll give you some more details. So yeah, we're going to be talking about this for next month. Give me a reminder, but if you're going to be in town, come hang out with us on Friday, May 19th. Let's have some fun.
Perfect. Nice. Dude, yes. that top Tracer driving range shit is fucking beautiful.
Oh yeah, like it's a lot of fun. Like if you ever been to Topgolf, it's basically the same thing. They just built this about a year ago. It's got couches, bar tables. Yeah. It's really nice. It's covered too, so even if it rains, we'll be fine. If you're in town for the PGA, want to come hang out with a couple of podcasts and maybe see a live show, definitely come hang out with us.
Doing that on Friday?
Yep, Friday from 7 to 9 p.m. after round two.
Cool, man. All right. Good shit.
Okay. All right. So positionals. Do you have any positionals?
Yeah, I have too many positionals, especially for this garbage event. Okay.
All right.
So I know I told you not to bet Finau because he's squirrely off the tee. But a top 10 for him, I got it minus 105.
Okay.
Which I feel like in this event, like whatever. I didn't hammer it, but I liked it versus Rahm's like minus fucking 290 top 10.
Yeah, at that point. I mean, like I also remember when Rahm showed up to Fortinet as like a giant favorite and he missed a cut there. So it is possible.
Yeah.
For him to, just blow that.
But Rahm missed cuts like 13, 14 to 1, I think.
I mean, that's not actually going to happen, though.
Right? I know. No.
But I saw our producer, Max, bet it, and it's like, all right, I'll take your action on that.
Max bet that?
I don't know, like $5, Max bet?
I think I was like, wait a second. We fucking laid $500 on that?
I have no idea. But
because locals, so for those of you who don't know, we don't get limited at locals. We just get shut down and moved off books when we win. And they typically... your max bet is typically $500 to like $1,000, right? Okay. So that's typically what it is. We don't get limited. We just get, you can't bet here anymore.
Okay. So I guess the question, let's round back to this. If you could only make one bet on Rahm this week, then like, if you're just hell bent, you want to have Rahm on your card. Is it just sucking it up at like plus 250, plus 275 in the outright?
No.
Is it just laying minus 185 over Finau in the matchup?
I guess.
Is it minus 130 in the top five?
I guess I'd do the Finau one. Just because at least I'm...
That's a lot of juice.
I know. I don't like any of them. He's nowhere on my card.
All right.
I guess I'd do the Finau one because... I don't know, because at least you have the ability where, like, if Rahm plays, at least Finau can still fuck up, right? If Rahm still has to play good and very good to get in the top five.
Okay.
So... like, I guess I'd get the extra juice of that, but I wouldn't advise any of it. None of it. None of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
And I'm a Rahm, I'm a Rahm guy. Like I've single bulleted Rahm numerous times, but like, no, not 3-1.
Now a couple like top 40 bets that I don't have access to, but if I did, Chez Reavie's playing good again.
I know.
And it seems like he's putting well again. And like his long iron numbers are actually one of the best in this field. He's hitting his irons pretty good. Now, the problem is he doesn't score very well in any of those approach shots because he sucks putting in around the green. But that putter has been okay. I mean, he's got pretty good past problem history. He did okay here last year. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I get for a top 20 on Chez Reavie?
I don't know. I was going to ask you the same thing because my the rest of my top 20s are pretty...
Plus 320.
Do you like that? Do you like that? Or do you like Lipsky better at plus 345? Because I bet that one.
I mean, Lipsky.
He's playing pretty good.
He is playing good. I like.
Played well here last year.
He did play well here last year. I like the fact that Reavie's hitting the ball a little better and his long iron numbers a little better too. And so wait, where Lipsky is very good is around the green, and I don't think that's a big advantage here.
Fine. What did you get Reavie at?
I can get Reavie at top 20 plus 320.
But that's dead heat, right? So I'll probably...
No, that's actually... And this offshore, it's actually not.
Oh, sweet. So I could probably get the same thing. Okay. All right. So I like that. I might add that.
You know what? Screw it. I hit Taylor Gooch last week. Let's add this. I'm on vacation too. I don't care. All right. 320 right. for top 20 for Chez Reavy.
Drinking beers and placing top 20s on Chez Reavy.
Yeah, I'm going in the hot tub after this. So there you go.
Oh, the Outer Banks hot tubs.
I know. Oh, this house is the best house we've stayed in so far. And
yeah, really?
Oh, it's fantastic. It nice. Is. It's really nice. The only problem with it is like the downstairs game room,
yeah,
is where I would record a podcast. There's no couch or anything.
Really?
So I'm kind of stuck in this little alcove right here. It's not great, but overall.
You're in Kill Devil, so where?
No, I'm in. Well, I don't want to say where exact where I'm at.
I know.
In case there's stalkers. I don't know. We're getting popular, dude. Maybe we got a stalker now.
We don't. But
no, we don't. Actually, I look at the download numbers. No one from the Outer Banks
listens to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were in Kill Devil.
I'm somewhere between Corolla and Hatteras. How about that?
Oh, well, I know where that is then. Okay. That's
the entire Outer Banks.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, but so the nicest house I stayed at there was when it was just me and my wife when she was like pregnant. And so like I didn't drink. We had like three kids and it was, I don't know, it's like an MTV house. It was ridiculous.
It was like the real world, dude.
It was ridiculous.
Did you have a confessional too?
Yeah, dude. I mean, there was three hot tubs, like a fucking pool. I was on the beach and I was like, this is ridiculous, but whatever. This is when I had money to spend for no reason. The house we stayed at with Tommy was super nice though when we golfed. Because that was right on the beach.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody looking for a vacation like destination, by the way, the Outer Banks is great. Like, it's not that expensive to come here. You get a giant house. Yeah. Really good restaurants. There's decent golf too. I mean, it's like we've done the same type of trip at like Cape Cod and Jersey. We pay a lot more for this place, so I would definitely recommend the Outer Banks. I mean, we talked about it in the our little mailbag show.
Yeah,
I think there's a reason why we keep coming back here.
Yeah, it's great. It's seriously like, and these houses, like the one we got with Tommy and Theresa, was like fucking 14 bedrooms, 12 bedrooms, or whatever. So you can, if you have another family that you're comfortable with vacationing with, because you have to be comfortable with these people if you're going to vacation, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a good test. And like, our families vacation great together because we each got fucking a bazillion kids. They all pair off, they all get rooms, they all do this. And like, yeah, and, it's a great spot for that. And the sticker shock for some of the houses are fine, but if you're splitting with a couple, if you break it off over 7 days, it's really not that bad.
No, if you're just paying for the whole thing, it's not that bad either.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any matchups? I don't bet matchups. Do you have any matchups?
Well, let me finish my top.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, you're fine. I got Jaeger at +185 because he's super fucking long, and I have him in DFS all the time. Why not in the shit field? Almost 2-1.
Is he? Super long.
He's longish. How's that? He makes a lot of eagles. So in my brain, it means.
Okay. I mean, I got him averaging 297 off the box, so that's not long. I know he's at a distance, so that's wrong, but
yeah, he's at a distance, but he makes a lot of eagles, and that's in my brain. That's why I think he's long. And I knew as soon as I said it out loud, I wanted to like put it back in, but it just makes a lot of eagles.
That is true. So his proximity numbers suck from over 150, but he's one of the better scorers from over 150, which means he converts a lot of eagles. So you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I was able to get Patrick Rogers at +135. Wallace at +250. I got Lipsky at +350. I took Wyndham Clark at even.
I'm ashamed.
I know, me too.
Okay.
Did you see my face drop when I started going down my sheet? I was like, oh, I did that.
Wyndham Clark, your boy. Womp womp.
Yeah, exactly. Højgaard at +140.
Okay.
And that's it for that.
Okay.
Well, I took McNealy to miss the cut at +280.
You're just picking on him.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another name that I look at. Is Tara Pendrith just dead?
He sucks.
What happened to that dude? He was awesome last year.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. He stinks. And he's going to be like, he's going to be the pivot play in DFS because he's 9,200. And he fits what you're supposed to be able to do, right? He's long off the box. But, you know, can't putt worth a shit.
Now, people are probably going to... People are going to try and cite that T13 of Zurich that maybe he's back, but Datagolf actually estimated what he did on his own ball, and he sucked. He was definitely the
anchor. None of that shit counts. Yeah. Dude, he back-to-back missed cuts, 70 at Corrales, 69th of the players, missed cut. 40. Dude, he hasn't been good since Pebble.
Yeah, I have really bad pass problem history on Taylor Pendrith.
And listen, I'm sure that's the sharp move to like move to Pendrith and DFS, but fucking have fun with that. Like a fucking smashed assholes.
Okay. All right. Any other positions, or you want to talk about your matchups?
I only have one matchup right now.
Okay.
That's it. And it's just Gary over fucking McNeely. Like I couldn't find any that like I was super strong on. And I've been taking them off, but I was like, let me look this week. Let me see if I dip my toe back in the water. And I was like, I'm just going Woodland over McNeely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, right. I just don't trust McNeely at all.
Should I just bet McNeely at this point? Because
yeah, you probably
miss should. Miss McNeely, failing a matchup.
You probably should.
I mean, that would be given what he's done, that would be an upset if he just turned around and won. He's not been good.
No, he'd be insane.
Like what, that would be like you're clinging on to the name Maverick McNeely and the fact in a miscut, he hit his irons good and did everything else badly.
Right.
Like at that point, it's like, all right, this is just golf and nothing matters if he wins.
Correct.
So, okay. Yes.
This is accurate.
All right. I mean, I got nothing else. Well,
you got any live? You don't know anything about the fucking live golf course. I was waiting for you to tell me about that.
Listen, I only capacity for A, I'm on vacation.
I know.
B, I like capacity really only do one deep dive of a golf course, and that was the Mexico Open. The only reason why I knew anything about Adelaide was because I didn't want to cover the Zurich. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean,
I got to figure out. I mean, I'll text Joe or something. I got to figure out because some of these live numbers are pretty juicy.
I will say this. The only thing I know about Sentosa is there was a negative course review where somebody went out with her husband, and the husband didn't golf, but the wife apparently does. She likes going around the world. And they charged her for her husband just riding the cart.
The people do that all the time.
All right. Well, she wasn't happy about that. That's the only thing I know about Sentosa at this point.
So we'll take the wives out. Like we'll book it as like a non-playing foursome. I still got to pay for my wife, so I don't have to have two schlumps with me.
That's such bullshit that they do that.
I agree, yeah. But whatever. I'm happy to pay the $15 so I don't have Frank from fucking Delaware down from Florida talking my fucking ear off when I'm trying to hang out with my buddy, my wife, and his wife. You know what I mean?
That is like, true. I actually had to move my tee time today because I booked a single. And on the website, it said, all right, only 1 to 3 available. And then a threesome actually booked with me. Like,
you're
a moron at that point. Like, do you not know that when it says 1 to 3, there's a single there? So I canceled that and actually moved to a tee time and I was a single at that point, which is good because I played like shit today. So I'm glad no one actually got to see that.
Very,
yeah.
Nice.
So,
very nice. That's you said the same thing when we played there. You were like, oh my God, you had the yips off the box then too. Maybe it's something with that course.
Maybe it just doesn't fit my eye.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. What about NFL draft talk? How are you feeling about on Thursday? Yeah.
My team fucking sucks. We're going to be 2-4 against our division at best. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick has jerked off to every press conference talking every time we play Green Bay about Aaron Rodgers, and all it takes was fucking 2 seconds and $60 million. Kraft didn't want to give up the money. Bill doesn't give a shit about quarterbacks. We're going to trade from 14 to fucking 26 to take some bullshit tackle. I don't know. Like, it's, I hate draft day. I hate draft day. It makes me mad because here's what's going to happen. They either fucking trade back or they're going to take some fucking bum that doesn't need to be taken at 14. Like that's it.
Okay.
That's it. Like, I hate draft day. I hate draft day.
All right. Well, not to spoil what you're going to talk about tomorrow on the SGPN mock draft, but I think you channeled Bill Belichick by taking a guy who shouldn't be drafted at 14 either. So,
why? He's the best receiver in the draft.
We'll see, when I come up on my
would you take the BC kid?
No, I didn't take the BC kid.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we have different agreements about we have different opinions about who you actually took there.
What do you mean?
All right, we'll see. All right, listen.
So you don't like him?
I don't like him.
I just want a big-bodied receiver. We don't get big-bodied receivers in New England. I just
one. You just spoil what the pick is tomorrow. So,
It's fine.
There's a couple big body receivers in the draft, so pick your poison. Yeah, that's fair. So
it's funny though. You don't like him though, huh?
I heard N'Keal Harry comps to him.
Oh fucking Christ! No way. Who said that?
Guys I respect.
All right, fair enough. So it's like some of the guys that I looked at because I was going between him and another guy, and I'm sick of taking injury reclamation projects. So I chose that guy. Because listen, it doesn't even matter. We're not taking a wide receiver. We're taking a fat fucking tackle.
I don't think they're going to take a receiver anyways. So
no, we're definitely not. But we need one. Because God forbid, Mac Jones has a fucking weapon. We got what the hell's his name? Fucking Paca.
Paca and Pale. That's yeah, exactly. Add that to your bingo card.
Yeah. And Juju Smith-Schuster, fucking washed ass.
Is he on the Patriots now?
Yeah, dude, he's on the fucking Patriots.
Wow, he's terrible.
Thank you. And those are our two best receivers.
All right, so another 7-10 season where you guys are picking.
Oh, 16 we'll be again. Lucky if we're 7-10. Lucky if we're fucking 7-10. I hope we go 0-16. So fucking everybody gets fucking fired. Everyone. Okay. Everyone. Got everything.
All right. I mean, personally, I think cornerback for the Giants is the most pressing need for them because they have kind of a bomb.
Where do you guys pick at?
We're picking, that's 24? The problem. We're picking 25. So 25. Okay. There's, from what I've seen, there's like two or three really good cornerbacks.
Gonzalez, right?
Gonzalez. There's a kid from Oregon, kid from Illinois.
Oregon's the Gonzalez kid, I think.
And then there's, I think, a kid from Maryland who's pretty good. Or no, Joey Porter Jr. That's like number three.
No, isn't he a linebacker?
No, he's a cornerback.
Joey's kid is a
cornerback, yes. I looked into it.
Because they were talking about him too, and I was like, I can't imagine Joey Porter's kid being on that team because Joey Porter hated the Patriots.
Well, because
he owned his bitch ass.
I mean, they're just connecting him to Pittsburgh at this point, so they're going to take him. So, but it seems like to me, everybody between 4 and 10 for cornerbacks is basically the same.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, if one of those guys happens to fall the Giants, I want them to go corner. If not, I don't know. I mean, we there's a lot that the Giants need. They need defensive line because I think Leonard Williams might get cut after June 1st.
Really?
Save some cap room.
Yeah, he must be pretty heavy on
that. Our interior offensive line's pretty bad. We could use that. We use a receiver. We use linebackers. It's kind of unfortunate.
You can use everybody.
Tank last year because they need a lot.
Whatever, you're fine.
We're fine. Daniel Jones is our quarterback.
Mac Jones is my quarterback, and I have no receivers, none, zero, zero.
I mean, we don't have receivers either. We're basically in the same boat.
Sterling Shepard's gonna be back, baby.
He sucks.
Sterling Shepard is good. He is good. He's just injury prone. I love Sterling.
Yeah, that's why he sucks.
Because I like him.
He was jogging and blew out every single ligament in his knee.
It's because the fucking Maras are fucking too cheap to put real turf down. They want that bullshit.
He's gotten hurt on grass too. Okay,
I'm just saying.
I don't think it matters to that guy.
Okay, I don't like the Maras. So you're not on Twitter. So did you see what happened to who's the goof dick from Kentucky? Who's the quarterback?
Will Levis.
You see his numbers? Did you see what happened today?
I heard that some anonymous poster said he was going number one. And that made everybody go nuts.
He went from 4,000. He's down to 4,000. And went all the way down to, plus 400. And then books just started taking the shit off the board.
The Panthers, if that actually is real, the Panthers are insane to do that. That guy is Carson Wentz 2.0.
Who's the Panthers' new coach?
I actually don't know.
I don't even know. I don't know either. You know why? Because they're irrelevant and they make stupid decisions like that.
That's true.
There you go.
That's true. They have a hedge fund manager as the owner now.
Listen, hedge fund guys are smart enough because they can rip off the rich all day long. I don't even have a problem with hedge fund people other than the fact that they can shift markets and they, by being removed, they fuck the normal guy, but they really fuck like rich people with the two
and 20. Yeah, but this David Tepper guy, he seems impulsive and a control freak. And,
oh, it's Tepper?
It's Tepper.
From Citadel?
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, David Tepper is the owner now.
Oh,
and
no.
He seems like Daniel Snyder 2.0, to be completely honest.
I think he's from Citadel, which is... I could be wrong.
So, I don't know. I don't know how well it's going to go. I have a friend who's a Colts fan, and they've been linked to Will Levis, and he's going to probably hang himself if they take him.
Oh, he's from Pittsburgh, too, so that's strike one.
Okay.
Institutional Investors Alpha. Da, 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 da. Can I get the name of it? No, I don't think he's at Citadel. That's okay. another.
All right, well, regardless, he seems very impulsive for an owner.
Sweet.
Okay.
Jerry Jones 2.0. What can go wrong?
Yeah, Jerry Jones, Daniel Snyder. Yeah.
Snyder's not an owner anymore, right?
No, he isn't, but we just, you know,
he's on his way out.
Daniel Snyder dies so David Tepper can live.
Love it.
There you go. All right. I got nothing else. You got anything else?
Nah, that's it, man. I'm happy that we got a elevated event next week. Quail Hollow, baby. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm going to bet?
Rory.
Yep.
Yep, because he's going to win.
Yep. Flop lag time. Everybody's out, including me. Give me some flop lag at Quail Hollow. I'm going to bet Keegan.
Okay.
Keegan and Rory.
So we don't need to do a show then. Just.
Oh, no. I'll have a smorgasbord of other bets, sir.
All right.
Cannot wait. I love Quail Hollow. I'm fucking.
I know you do. You like the big, beefy, boring, kind of soulless golf courses. So that makes sense.
I like tough golf courses, Steve. I like tough golf courses.
Okay. All right.
That's what I like. Okay. Wait. Who's? Yeah, but they'll set it up tough. They'll absolutely set it up.
Oh, it's always tough. I just don't think it's a very compelling golf course. But that's for
it makes compelling week. Golf. It makes compelling golf.
It does make for compelling golf. You're right. When they have the same approach shot over and over, and no one can get up and down. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Go find fucking Steve on our Discord channel. Make sure to go listen to his preview and go give a click to his article. And other than that, you can find me on Twitter, Boston_Gapper. And don't forget to go do the Shady Rays parlays and the SGPN draft contest. We'll both be making picks for the draft party. I get not picks, but appearance on the draft party. And if you're gonna be up in the Rochester area for the PGA, man, fucking go to that golf thing. What the hell? It's not Top Shot. You fucked me up by saying Top Shot.
Big O driving range.
Big O driving
May 19th, range. 7 to 9 p.m. at the Boom. Top Tracer base.
Love it. All right, other than that, talk to you boys next week. And girls. Let's go.